Praise the Lord once again. And I want to thank whoever brought this up here for my pre-Thanksgiving message snack. Don't you wish you were up here? Why don't I share? Why don't you go buy your own, brother? I'm just kidding, Noah. You know that. You come right up here, brother, and I'll give you one. You think I'm, yeah. See, ask and you shall receive. Now, here, see, I really started something here.
You know what Mountain Dew does to me, don't you, brother?
Here you go. We're just family, right? We're just family here, and you probably never seen this before. I feel like Jesus in the 5,000. You need a Mountain Dew, Sister Darlene? That's some dancing go-go juice there. Nobody else? Come on. The opportunity is going to be closing here shortly. You got to have a Mountain Dew, too. James, you don't. Has anybody ever seen anything quite like this? Now my only thing I'm going to say is I don't want to find any wrappers in here. I don't want to find any cans in here. Last one. This is it. Here, Christopher, you got to have a Snicker, bro. The rest is for, I'll celebrate tomorrow. Thank you, brother. I want to guess Brother Dave Shroud is the one who's responsible for that, because it was up here when I came in for prayer, and a lot of you weren't here then. So, Brother Dave, thank you. You can be seated tonight. This is our Wednesday night is Bible study night, and it's kind of a pre-Thanksgiving service last year. How many of you remember what I spoke on last year, Thanksgiving service? Anybody remember? Food? You were really close. You actually are correct, but anybody remember what I spoke on? Anybody remember the title? There's a Snicker bar for whoever remember the title. No. Start out with five. Five. I gave everyone candy corn. Five kernels of corn. That's what I spoke on last year. Did you guess it? All right, I'll give it to you anyway. I got to get into preaching mode here. I got a really serious message. You're not going to feel so bad when I start stepping on your toes after I gave you a Mountain Dew and a, right? You're going to be good with that? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's so great to be here tonight, and I get to leave here and go home. We're going to go home, and I'm putting on six turkeys in my big smoker for our Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow here at church, and then we got three of them we're going to deep fry. How many of you like those Cajun turkeys? Oh, it's going to be good. I want to preach. I'll get to it. I want to speak tonight just on a message that's just kind of been on my heart for a while. And going to start off, I guess, a little different. If you could remember, how many of you back in the 60s and 70s, I think in the 80s they kind of faded away by then, but how many of you are 60s and 70s childs out there? Remember the old 45 records, okay? You had the 16, you had the old turntable that had 16, which I don't know of anybody that ever had the 16s. I don't know. I never ran across any. I think they were pretty old. But anyway, you had 16, you had 33 and a half, and then you had 45. How many of you know what the 45, what did that stand for, Sister Brown? 45 revolutions per minute. So you had those little bitty albums, little bitty records, and it was usually just one recording on one side, And then you'd have the second recording on the other side, unless you had one that this is really going to date. Some of you are going to know this. The psychedelic era, you had Iron Butterfly. Anybody? Indigata Davida took both sides, okay? You had to flip it over for that one, all right? Man, some of you are aged. I'm aging some of you here tonight. But in back in the 60s, songs were often released on this small vinyl record. It's known as a 45. And a 45 was a type of recording that it held one song on one side and one song on the other side. You had the A side and you had the B side. Now, the A side was the primary hit of whatever band was putting out the 45. That was the primo song was the A side. And then on the B side, they would just put in some type of a song that really didn't have much of a chance to get to a number one hit. It was just kind of a filler song. And this title of my message tonight is actually titled after one of these songs. And surprisingly, the front side of the album or the recording didn't make it to top 10, but the back side, the B side of the album, went all the way to top 10 and stayed there for 3 weeks on the Billboard chart, the top 10 Billboard. How many of you have ever heard the song, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother"? That was the song, and that's the title of our message tonight. He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. I began to do a little research on this, and I wanted to find out where did this statement come from. And this is just how my mind works. Sometimes I get on something, and God just kind of uses uniqueness sometimes. But one of the explanations of the origin of the name of the song, it came from a very well-known Vietnam War photo, which you see here, which is an American soldier who is carrying a Vietnamese man on his back. A journalist asked the soldier if he had been carrying the man far, and the soldier smiled, looked at the camera, and said, "He ain't heavy, he's my brother." The words go, "The road is long with many a winding turn that leads us to who knows where, who knows when." We live life. We all have a life that we live, and each one of us, we have within our life our own set of circumstances. Understand tonight that I cannot live your life, and you cannot live my life. Our roads that we take in life, we each travel a road. And we've heard this mentioned before. We've made mention of this. Well, I'm on the road of life or the journey of life. And each road we travel, it can be a long, long road. It can have many a winding turn that leads us to who knows where and who knows when. Each road has its twists and turns, and beyond every bend, there could be a state of happiness, or there could be sadness, there could be disappointment, and there can be grief. But immersing yourselves as we, as humanity, we as individuals, immersing ourselves in the lives of other people can become very messy at times. It's sad, and can be sad and very difficult, yet I have found out for myself that over the years, one of the most fulfilling things that I can do is to help someone else out that's struggling in life. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. We have trusted one another with everything that is true about us. And as we get to know one another in a church setting, we trust one another, and we get to know what each and every one of us is about. And it's because we're a church body, we're committed to one another. And most of us here tonight, we could say that someone in this room, someone in this sanctuary knows about your inner weaknesses as well as your outer strengths. We share triumph as well as tragedy. We share laughter as well as heartbreak. We have confessed our fears and exposed our shame to the healing power of what we call relationship in the light of the Holy Spirit. We at times have put all of our cards of relationship on the table, and that within itself can be a very scary place to be. But when you play all your cards and you still feel loved, it is one of the most exhilarating and freeing experiences that one could imagine. As the song goes, so on we go, his welfare is of my concern. No burden is he to bear, we'll get there. But I'm strong, strong enough to carry him. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. You see, this is the beauty of church. This is the beauty of the body of Christ. This is the beauty of what we call our church community. Even when the burden that you are sharing with your brother, it may be difficult, it may be messy, one that you should not feel perhaps put upon you, or maybe at times you feel like you have been dumped on by someone else's problems, we should feel honored and blessed to be able to help carry and share that load. You see, he ain't heavy. He's my brother. We must understand that your time is coming. It will come for each and every one of us. The time is coming when you will be grateful that you have these brothers and you have these sisters, because they will be there for you. This is how it is supposed to work. This is how it should work, you see, for he ain't heavy. He's my brother. One of the classic passages in the Bible is having to do with human empathy. Undoubtedly, Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan that we find in the Gospel of Luke, most of us, we could take that parable and we could tell it verbatim by heart. How a despised Samaritan empathized with the fallen and a beaten Jewish man by the side of the road. And seeing this man in compassion, he ran to him. He tended to his wounds and he hoisted him up upon his own donkey and he carried him to an inn and he paid for his care. As we read about this story in the New Testament or the Old Testament, we read also about a story in the Old Testament, of Job chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. And here we find Job's three friends. They heard of all this evil that had come upon Job, and there came everyone from his own place. And these three friends, they had made an appointment to come together and to mourn with Job and to comfort Job. We've heard the story of Job, and we're familiar with this. And in verse 12, it says, and when they lifted up their eyes afar off, and they knew him not, meaning they didn't recognize him, they lifted up their voice, and they wept, and rent every one his mantle, and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days. 7 days and seven nights, and none of them spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Now, this is one of the classic examples. We have the example, which we'll get back to, of the Good Samaritan. We have an example of empathy of the book of Job, and Job's three friends, upon hearing of all of the disaster that had befallen him, they traveled to Job in order to try to comfort and counsel him. Now, initially, Job's three friends showed true human empathy and compassion, and they got it right. But when they saw Job from a distance, they began to wail loudly. They tore their robes and they threw dust into the air over their heads to show their grief. And then we get to the really good part of all of this. They sat on the ground for 7 days and seven nights. nights. I just can't imagine that. I don't know. People come over to your house because you suffered a severe tragedy, and you're sitting there, and your friends, they sit there for 7 days and 7 nights and don't say a word to you. No one said a word to Job, for they saw that his suffering was too great for Job, too great for words. Job's friends, you see, they got off on the right beginning. They wanted to go visit him. They wanted to go and console him. They wanted to go and they wanted to help him. But you see, after their initial encounter with Job, it was then when things began to go downhill and they did all of the wrong things. We could say that Job's friends really blew it when they broke their silence. And when they finally broke their silence and dominated the conversation with much of their talking, it wasn't, "Job, we're here for you. Job, we're here to help you. Job, what can we do? I've got extra of this or I've got extra of that." It was a self-righteous condemnation and judgment and trying to figure out where to place the blame and citing all the reasons for all of his troubles. You see, what happened is their empathy. And we can do this sometimes ourselves, where the empathy turns to criticism. And that becomes a lesson in here for all of us on this eve of Thanksgiving. You see, understand empathy. What is empathy? Empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. You see, empathy, it's a very important human attribute. But you see, sometimes in us trying to be empathetic with people, if we aren't careful, we can blow it, as did the friends of Job, by doing and saying all of the wrong things. You see, some of us, we may have memories of when we were going through a difficult time in our lives, and perhaps we were suffering some painful or potentially life-threatening illness, or maybe someone close to us has recently passed, or we're suffering from a breakup in some kind of a relationship. Maybe you dated someone for a long time and you broke that relationship off, and those close to us, those our closest friends, in trying to help us or trying to empathize with us, they said something that didn't help but only made us feel worse. Have you ever been in that situation? Anybody ever been there? It's a tough one. It's a hard situation to be in. I would have to admit that at times we have all been the source of misguided or unhelpful attempts at being empathetic towards our friends and our family. When someone close to us is suffering, we feel that we should say something or do something to make them feel better, because we want to solve the problem right away. Ever feel that way? You go into a situation and you just want the pain and this person's hurt to go away. But in our haste, we blow it trying to be helpful, and we walk away and we're frustrated because we know that we said the wrong thing. So when we look at empathy, when we look at what is true empathy and what does it look like, how do we generally show empathy to someone else? You see, empathy really is seeking to put ourselves in the place of another. You see, to try to feel what someone else is feeling and try to experience what they're experiencing, and we try to see life from someone else's perspective. Years ago, we used to get these albums in the mail, and I think it was Word Record Company. And you got on this mailing list where you'd send in this little card. And I don't know how many of you got stuck with albums you didn't like, but I've got all kinds of albums at home that I'm like, these albums are terrible. Okay? But I didn't send that little card back in, which meant you're going to get the next album. And I got an album. And I don't know if any of you have ever heard of this group, but it was called the Sammy Hill Singers. Oh, boy, were they hillbilly. Not something that an 18, 19, 20-year-old individual would want to listen to, but it's funny because of all the albums that I have, and I have dozens and dozens of them at home, this one particular album is one of the few that actually still stands out because there was a song on that album. And the title of the song was Walk a Mile in My Shoes. Anybody ever hear that? A few of you have. It was written by Otis Clay. It says, walk a mile in my shoes if I could be you, if you could be me, for just 1 hour, if we could find a way to get inside of each other's mind. Walk a mile in my shoes before you abuse, criticize, and accuse. Then walk a mile in my shoes. Sometimes we, as brothers and sisters, sometimes we just simply need to walk a mile in someone else's shoes so we can really understand what they are going through and the pain and the hurt that they go through. Sometimes we just need to empathize with another person. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves, if I was in the same situation that my brother or my sister is in, what would I be thinking right now? What would I be feeling? And what would I be experiencing? What would my immediate needs be? You see, to empathize is to identify with another in our common, what we call humanity. You see, we must understand that true empathy, it crosses across lines of gender. It crosses across racial lines. It crosses political lines and religious lines. You see, this was the case of the Good Samaritan. You see, the Good Samaritan crossed over all of those boundaries. He crossed over all of those lines. He crossed over the racial line, the political line, the religious lines of his day. And we must ask ourselves, do you remember the question that was asked of Jesus before he gave the parable of the Good Samaritan? Anybody know what question that led into the parable of the Good Samaritan? Brother Daniel? Who is my neighbor? Reading from Luke 10, verses 25 through 29, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, meaning the lawyer, wishing to justify his actions, he asked unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus goes into the parable of the Good Samaritan. You see, to empathize is not to have all of the answers. To empathize is not to give a reason or a cause of another man's trouble, like Job's friends, but to offer a solution that will make everything all right. Being empathetic instead of doing most of the talking and providing solutions to another's suffering, we could far better listen. We could far better listen and ask questions and ask the right kinds of questions. You see, a lot of times we just, soon as someone starts to talk to us about their particular situation, we want to jump in and try to tell them where they went wrong. Sometimes we just need to sit down, be quiet, and listen. You see, to empathize is not to say, I know exactly how you feel. But even then, when we have been in maybe a similar situation or another person's life to experience, we look at their social surroundings and we look at all of the resources that may or may not be available to them, as well as simply their worldview on life. it can be so very different from our own. So it's very hard for us at times to empathize with other people. This past month, we had the opportunity, as many of you know, we went down to East Texas, and we went to a family reunion, and I have to be honest, they're my family, but I don't really know them. I haven't seen some of them since I was 14 years old, and before we had the reunion, I spent one day, I had to run down to Nacogdoches. I ran down there and took care of some business that I needed to take care of, and on the way back, I just drove through East Texas countryside, and I don't know, you can get lost in East Texas, folks. Listen, there's roads out in the middle of nowhere that they've got no markings on them. They're just old dirt roads that one goes to the other, to the other, to the other. And my little GPS in my Jeep, it tells me where I've been by my trail be turning blue, and I just drove until I ran into another blue line. I had no idea where I was at. But I do know that as I begin on this journey, every time I try to make it down to East Texas, I try to go back, I could say, to the roots of our family. And I found the old house that my dad was born in, took a few pictures of that, went down to the old Liberty Hill Cemetery where my great-great-grandfather, my great-grandfather, my grandfather was all buried. And you know, I could look at that, and I could look at the humble beginnings, and I could look at someone that's in poverty and say, well, you know, I can empathize with you, but really, I've never lived that. So I can't tell you. I can only tell you where our family's been, but I can only give you the experiences of where my life picked up in this timeline of the Grant and the Smith family. I look at our bishop, and on the trip down, I could look back at times, and I'm not trying to get all emotional here tonight, but I look back and I could tell that he was suffering in pain. And I could look back and I could say, well, Dad, I'm sorry, I can feel your pain, but the truth of the matter is I can't feel his pain. I can't experience the back pain and the sciatic nerve pain that he's suffering and dealing with. And I have no idea what that kind of pain feels like. I can sit there and say, well, Dad, I can relate because I had a kidney stone once, but you know I can't relate because that pain's gone and he's still in his pain. So I can't look at someone just and say, I empathize with you. I understand what you're going through. You see, in Paul's writing, Paul writes to the church in Galatia when he instructs them to share one another's burdens. What he's really telling this church is he's telling the folks there, if someone else sins, forgive him. Forgive him. And then you need to restore him, and you need to save your critical comments to yourself. Because if we're not careful, you will probably be the one that needs the same forgiveness tomorrow. You see, we need to reach down and we need to reach out to those who are oppressed. We need to share their burdens, and we need to complete Christ's law in our lives. And if you think that you are too good to do that, then you're being deceived. There have been times that I've been the one who's been strong, and I've had the privilege of carrying the load of a particular brother. But you see, there are times when life sometimes begins to take its toll, and you find yourself that you become the one that's tired, and you become the one that's struggling, and you become weakened by that sickness or by that circumstance in which it is now time that you have to reach out to others for strength. You see, we're talking about he ain't heavy. He's my brother. I'm so thankful tonight I am so thankful tonight for this church, and I'm so thankful for my brothers and my sisters that I have here in Christ. I'm so appreciative of each and every one of you, and we need to be thankful that God has put us and placed us in such a beautiful position in our life. We won't all agree on everything at any one given time. I think that's why when Jesus said, when two or three agree together in any one thing, if he would have said, if 30 or 40 agree in any one thing, it would have taken thousands of people to get 30 or 40 to agree. And he says, you know, if only two or three. Think about that. Two is just simply one more than yourself. So if I can get one more person in this room to agree with me tonight, I've got it made. I've accomplished. You see, the miracle of God's grace is that it never, when you look at the burden of your brother, it's never going to feel heavy for you to share your brother's burden. You see, this within itself, this is a hard lesson that I've had to learn for myself in life, because over the years, I've loved to help others, but I've often chose not to bother others when I and myself am going through a trial or I am suffering in some way. But you see, that's not how the journey is designed to work. You see, in times past, I've denied others the privilege of serving when I foolishly have tried to be self-sufficient. I've stopped the blessings of others because I've wanted to try to figure things out for myself. And God says, no, 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 understand something, Roy. He ain't heavy. He's your brother. Oftentimes, we struggle. All of us struggle with that. Our pride is, it short circuits the healing process that God has placed within his church body. You see, he ain't heavy. He's my brother. It's a long, long road from whence there is no return. While we're on the way to there, why not share? And the load, it doesn't weigh me down at all, because he ain't heavy. He's my brother. I'm so very thankful on this Christmas. Boy, I jumped right through Thanksgiving, didn't I? I'm so very thankful on this Thanksgiving Eve that this scripture recognized our need for one another, for us to love one another, that we're here and we're sharing our journey with our brothers and our sisters. I know that over the years that some of you've been tried, you're tired, you've been wounded. Some of you have been ignored at times, and understand at times we've all been there, but I want to encourage you not to give up. You see, if I'm laden at all, I'm laden with sadness. Sadness, why? Because that everyone's heart isn't filled with gladness. Gladness of what? Of love, one for another. You see, we read in John chapter 13, if our praise team can come, in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, he says, a new commandment I give you, to love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. If we could stand to our feet tonight, it's a long, long road from whence there is no return. While we're on our way to there, why not share? And the load, it doesn't weigh me down at all. You see, Matt Moran, you're not heavy. You're my brother. Carl Grant, you're not heavy. You're my brother. James Hawk. You're not heavy. You're my brother. You see, I pray tonight that our prayer would be, God, grant us the wisdom. Lord, grant me the wisdom. Grant me the courage to understand and empathize with the pain and the suffering of others, even as I want others to empathize with me. To turn to the person next to you and say, he ain't heavy. He's my brother. We haven't done this in a long, long time. What I want to do in closing is I want our brothers, as our praise team begins to sing, I want our brothers to go to brothers. I want you to give your brother a good firm handshake. Give him a good hug. Pat him on the back and say, you ain't heavy. You're my brother. I want the sisters. Go to your sisters. Go to someone that maybe you've never shaken their hand. Get out of your comfort zone. Walk across the other side of the building. Tell them, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. You ain't heavy. You're my brother.